And so a lot of you might be thinking like, holy shit, you know, how like Steve was able to walk into this environment where there was money easily changing hands, but I had to be good. I had to be good. You can still do that. If you can get the sale, if you can generate cash from nothing, which is what an entrepreneur does, if you can create something and put a price on it, and the price is, this is one of the things that I always get from people who were, I hate to say it, former criminals, is the price is what people will pay.
You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. Okay, so today we have Steve Maeda joined with us. And Steve is the founder of The Sexual Life in Austin's Men Development. He specializes in dating, relationships, and addiction. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
What's up, my man? Yeah, cool. Good to be here.
Absolutely, man. So I guess at the very beginning of your journey, you know, when you started your business, like, where were you at?
Man, I mean, that's an interesting question. And there's a lot of different stories that could go into it. So one of the reasons why I specialize in addiction is because during that time I was trying to get clean. So I was 27, 28, something like that. I did not care about online business. I didn't care about any of that stuff. I did not care about being wealthy. And there's people that care way more about being wealthy that you should listen to and all that sort of stuff. But one thing I will say is that I'm 42 now. And from the age of 28 to 42, I've never made under $80,000 a year. And I've made
amazing
a lot more than that, like in different times. And there's different plays that come into that, that are really interesting and have different takes, and everybody has a different business. And I want to just say, like, a lot of times when people look at business, they look at like the Gary V's and all these people that are great. They're great.
Right,
you should probably stop listening to Gary V and start opening up a business. But my story is not the same as what he was saying. So check this out. I'm like 27. I'm about to be a dad. Everything's fucked up in my life. Everything. I'm basically working I wasn't working. I was stealing stuff for a living, and I was playing music around the country and doing a lot of drugs. And I was really trying to like figure out what the fuck I was going to do. And believe it or not, like one of the things that I always say, like, so in my coaching business, I coach men. There's a lot where the dating element, and then there's a lot with like a self-help, life coaching. You should be able to talk about your what you do a little bit easier than me, but I live for it. It's freaking crazy. So at the time though, I was just trying to like keep my head above water. And this is what I was going to say is that, you know, I had a business when I was 27 that I made, you know, like probably about anywhere from like $50,000 to $60,000 a year stealing stuff and selling it. And as illegal and effed up as that is, and then repairing that as life comes on, maybe I could talk about that. That's what I did. Now, in my coaching business now as a men's coach, if I ever get a guy who's like a drug dealer, and I can tell right away, or they have some odd job that they cannot talk about, if they can transition into normal business, they're amazing businessmen. So I don't want to sit here and promote doing illegal activities, but they do happen. And when I get a client that has those things, to transition them into a regular business is amazing if they can get it. And again, I'm not trying to encourage this. It's not my job in terms of getting a client to tell them what's right and wrong morally in society, or it is my job to tell them what's right and wrong morally in society, but it's not my job to enforce the consequences of that. And so I leave that up to the court system and whatever, and just try and help them get in the right spot. But whenever I get somebody who has that background, they become excellent business people because they get supply and demand. They get what capitalism is. They get how to price things. They understand things on such a different level than somebody else walking into it. Now, that being said, I don't want to encourage anybody to do that. But if you are already doing that, if you want to transition into entrepreneurship, I really highly recommend it because you'll most likely be good at it. So I didn't care about any of that stuff. I stole the book, The Game, and the mm-hmm. mother of my kids read it, and we were like on it. Like, there were a lot of problems, and nothing against her. I mean, obviously we have like a history together, but I mean, we were both, well, I'll speak for myself. I was in a pretty rough spot when we had my son. So when that happened, I didn't actually finish reading the book. She just said, you should do this. And like, you know, as a guy who's like, you know, in this crazy relationship, in and out of it, back and forth, and wanting to meet women, it's like, you know, the Game was like the first book on like how to be a pickup artist or whatever. It was the first really popularized book. So I was like, oh man, I'm going to do it. And then I got sucked into the web of internet marketing, which was not as aggressive back then as it is today. And eventually took a workshop. And because of, I've always had a drug problem. And, you know, I'd been in and out of whatever rehabs and getting clean in my younger years. I knew a lot of how to talk to people, and the depth of people's problems were far more than just what the symptom was. Like when it comes to addiction, and just for the record, guys, I'm clean now. If you don't know, I don't always bring that up because I kind of assume people know that. But when it comes down to addiction, it's the use of the drug is a symptom of the disorder. So when it gets to things like with women and so on, that's like a symptom usually of the problem. So I was really good at talking to people. Immediately, I started making money. Back then in 2007, 8, 9, there were the country, the U.S., was a lot more wealthy, and there were a lot more people who could easily spend $2,000, $3,000 on courses or workshops. And so in this weird, bizarre way, like, it wasn't my mentality, it wasn't my mindset, it wasn't all this other stuff that made me an entrepreneur. It was luck and the background of having a super hard work ethic and some talents of being able to talk to people about deeper things and also being really creative in certain ways. Another thing too was like my background big time was in theater, and I worked professionally in it for a long time. And through that and the ideas of script writing and those types of things, that actually helped. So here I was, this guy that was going to these pickup workshops. I was good at meeting women and doing all the stuff that pickup guys were supposed to be known for, which interestingly enough, most people actually weren't good at those things. And still to this day, there's that problem. But I was really good at it. I was able to work really hard. I was able to show up on time. I was able to focus on certain things. I was able to talk to people at really deep levels. And I was also able to like work this creative angle, which became a business model a little bit later, of script writing and those types of things and understanding story. So when I immediately I was just given money. It was crazy. Like, I remember the first person that hired me, it was like for $8,000 for 4 days. And this person basically was like wanting to meet women better. At the end of the workshop, he, and I knew him from a workshop, and then he hired me for a one-on-one. But at the end of the workshop, basically what happened was he pulled me to the side and he said, "Hey man, I'm going through these problems, and you know, here's back then there weren't phones with pictures on them. There were actually cameras, like point and shoot cameras with pictures on them. He was like, "This is my ex-girlfriend," and he's like showing me pictures. I'm like, "Dude, man, what? You should have brought this up a long time ago. Like, what's your problem, man?" He's like, no, I want to show you and tell you the story." And he's showing me, "This is my ex-girlfriend. We were in love, and da da da." And we're going through these pictures. And in them, you know, she's looking different in them. Like, she doesn't look the same. And he keeps explaining, he's like, "Yeah, so she got cancer, and here she is, and she's getting sick and she's losing weight. Here she is in chemo. And, here she is, you know, dying. Here she is with me, you know, at her hospice. And here she is like the day she died," and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, "Look, man, I obviously don't have a problem with meeting women, but, the thing is I had a problem with thinking I was okay. And you were the only normal guy, like, of the workshop that I went to. And I think, you know, that's why I wanted to do this with you and spend this money, because I needed to get over it. And I just wanted to be with somebody that I could trust in this situation. And basically the thing is that these are the problems that I want to work on. And then we continued to work more after that. And man, that was a long time ago, man. And it's crazy because the guy's now like married with kids in a totally different scenario. And we still talk, we're still friends, but that's how I started. Right. And mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I guess, that sounds amazing. When you dived into creating your own business, right, and you started coaching, right, you said you were really good at it. But what was like the biggest challenge that you faced during that time?
I mean, it's myself easily, but in terms of, so check it out. In 2007 to 2009 to even 2010, the economy was rich. To be a person who is helping men meet women and being able to offer the services that I was offering, it was a lot easier to do. And I needed that. And so a lot of you might be thinking like, holy shit, you know, how like Steve was able to walk into this environment where there was money easily changing hands, but I had to be good. I had to be good. You can still do that. If you can get the sale, if you can generate cash from nothing, which is what an entrepreneur does, if you can create something and put a price on it, and the price is, this is one of the things that I always get from people who were, I hate to say it, former criminals, is the price is what people will pay. So what the rule of capitalism is that whatever the cost of something is, it's how much the highest bidder will pay. That is what the cost is. So if I make a PDF right now and I'm trying to sell it, one, I want it to sell and I want it to move. If I can't get it to move, then I don't have any success. So if that's a dollar, if that's $2, whatever. But in that, if somebody's willing to pay $50 for that PDF, I need to look at who that person is and shape that around it. Now, at the time, I had a product that I said I was in script writing, screenwriting, which I understood. As I started taking guys' stories of all the negatives that they had in their life from day one in 2007, it was called the Red Stack. I don't offer it. Don't email me about it. Do my other courses. I charged $10,000. That was the last price that I started, that I charged for it. But so for me to even pick up to consider it, I need a $10,000 deposit. But for that, I would take somebody's life and I would write out how they would open, talk to people, present themselves, pitch a story, you know, whatever, whether it was meeting women or business related, on how they could bring up who they were as a person, good, bad, ugly. It did not matter. And a lot of what Pickup said was value was the most important thing. They still talk about that. I said, it doesn't matter. You could be a crippled, and there's many people that actually, one of my best clients has a he has multiple sclerosis and he cannot walk, and he does much better with women than people who can walk. So the thing with that was that I could charge again $10,000 for that, for me to write out how a person to present themselves in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, that could sell easily for that price. Now, the economy crashed in 2009. In 2010, we really started to notice it. And that's when I had to know more about business. I had to understand that I had to sell better, market better, get my name out better. And I'm still not the best at that. I'm not the best. But again, I've been in business this whole time and I've excelled the whole time. I've done better each year and I've done what I've wanted. That's another thing. Like in 2007 to 2011 or 12, I worked my ass off, like killed myself. And like what you see a lot of people do, what you see a lot of like kind of what Gary Vee talks about, or people who watch his stuff are like, oh my God, I got to be like that. But when, at that time, I 2011, 12, I learned to slow down much more and pace myself and work at a different tempo, which is what I do now, which is very difficult. But because of that economic crash, I had to learn to do things differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in that, I learned how to live the way I want, make money the way I want, and so on. Go ahead. Keep interrupting.
And during that time when you were trying to figure it out, because 2010, you said you needed to learn more about business. Were there certain programs, products, you know, mentors, yeah, or maybe like events that you attended to try to understand business more?
Okay, so for me, this is weird because I don't listen to anybody in the marketing scene. I live in Austin. I've lived in Austin the whole time. I was at the internet marketing party at the first one they ever had. I'm friends with all those guys. I know them on a different level. Just to put things in perspective, at one of the first internet marketing parties, I won't say who was there, but they did the age old. This is like in 2000. This is not one of the first ones, but this is early on. But they did the age old, Steve, you're a pickup artist. Get like a couple chicks over here. And they were other like pickup artists, or like they wrote books on how to have sex. And they were basically not good at any of that stuff. And I got a bunch of chicks over to the house, and they just sat there and played video games and then did the weirdest shit. They're like, no, it's cool. You know, we don't have to have sex with them. But so that's where I got, like, this industry is just stupid. I didn't care, again, about looking good as an internet marketer or being an internet marketer, let alone the image of it. I didn't care about looking like a pickup artist. I cared about my relationships with women, having the life I wanted, having the sex I wanted, having the perspective I wanted. And if I wanted people to look up to, I always found it outside of that massively. So again, some of those dudes are really good at business. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that John Benson is great at business. There's no doubt that Manish Punjabi is great at business and yada, 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 or David Gonzalez who runs it. There's no doubt that Mike Dillard is amazing at business. And there's no doubt that I could learn something from many of them. But to hang out in that crowd, I felt, was to hang out with a bunch of snakes. Now, those guys that I mentioned, they're good dudes. They're good dudes that I have great relationships with and so on. But what I found was that business was much more simple than that. In fact, there's a guy that I met at one of the first internet marketing parties named Bill Murphy. And Bill was running a poker site at the time. And then he ran another site that was, God, man, it sold like commodities. And then it was kind of like an Amazon type thing. And then he started Forever Jobless, and then he started all this other stuff. And we've become friends over the years. And Bill is a true businessman. And what I liked about him was he was like, man, business is a lot more simple. If there's a demand, create the supply. Like, business is easy. You know, if there's competition, that means you're not the best. But if you're the best, there is no competition. If you're unique enough, you know, you can get whatever. If you have a great product, put it out there and get as many people to start using it the way it's meant to be used. These are things that he would talk about. And again, I mean, I would just talk to him here and there and do podcasts with him and interview him. And I really got a lot from him. And again, I would not be the best example of a business owner. I just live the way I want. I've supported a family. There's a lot of great stuff that I've created from it. So the thing was that I built communities from 2009 till current. I built online communities where guys got to know each other. They worked in a group. And this even came from working just individually with people in 2007. There'd be a guy in New York, and then there would be a guy in California. I'd be like, man, you guys should be talking. So I started to build these networks of men. And when I made an online community that has never broken a week of calls since 2009, it is great. 2020. Mm. Right. So for 11 years, we've had calls weekly. We all know each other really well. We meet up around the world now. We have live local meetups in Austin. But our main grouping is not in Austin. The most active members are scattered all over the world. And at this point, we travel together and do a bunch of cool stuff together. But that was one of the unique things. Also, what I don't consider work is being on calls with guys in my group. Like tonight, it's Wednesday, so we'll have a call starting at 8 p.m. It'll go till probably 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll be on till midnight. So I'll be on for 4 hours talking to people that I work with who I created programs and mentor them through, but consider them friends. In the coaching industry, this is seen as like, you know, you have to have frame, you have to right. keep distance mm-hmm. in order to maintain value. Mm-hmm. I did not abide by any of those rules. Why? Because once again, if you're the best, There's no competition. If you're the best at what you're unique at, and it's distinctly clear that it serves a certain group of people, then you have zero competition. You are the only one who can offer that. And I wish I would have realized that more, because I was doing it without realizing it. And that, you know, that built its own value. Then the results that people get with me are going to be different than everybody else. So it's like, to sell, you need, you know, the pain and all that bullshit that everybody obsesses about, like what it's like to feel alone, what it's like to feel like a failure, what it's like to not be an entrepreneur, what it's like to just sit there and dream, but not, you know, consistently do it. That's great and all for whatever you're trying to sell. But if I can get a result of guys going, no, no, this is beyond that. Okay. Yeah. I got the dream fulfilled. I got this happening, but the value of life and meaning that is far beyond whatever, and my purpose fulfilled, and da 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 da, that is going to work a lot better for you. So again, I am not the greatest internet marketer, but another thing that I learned early on from a guy that I really respected, that was a great entrepreneur as well, is that his name is Brian Franklin. Mm-hmm. He may have some courses out there, but okay. he basically, you know, if you are, first off, if you have an idea, the first that you want to have as a business, you need to sell it. And if you can sell it, you can repeat it. And if you can sell it for more than what you used to create it, then you have profit. And if you can repeat that in an easy way, that's key. When I started doing stuff with Brian, his main point was like how you can sell and how you can get people to be involved with what you're doing. Like I said, my groups are all community-based. There's tons of content, really good content. But if I can get somebody working in that community, which is not everybody, so there's people that my courses are not for, but I want that to be challenged right away. So at my entry-level products or free products, the emphasis is on to work with us in the way my courses are meant to be worked. So as a community, if I can get that, then I'm going to isolate or, you know, build out my niche of my client a lot quicker. And if I can do that, man, that's the best way to structure whatever business I'm trying to do.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
I know I'm talking a lot.
All good, man. All good stuff. So with your community, it sounds like a really strong, tight-knit community. Like, how exactly did you sort of build that up?
Yeah, well, so again, like I was coaching live, and like it was like, man, these people should meet. So I started to make an online course. So the Red Stack, they're a pain in the ass to write. And that's why I charge so much for them. But I wanted to teach people how to do the stacks themselves. And I had crazy reviews. So like guys who had won Academy Awards hired me to do the Red Stack. I had like federal judges, and then I had like college kids, and I had like guys boasting tremendous results of all sorts of different aspects of it, whether it was in terms of personal presentation or sales or building rapport with people, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, one thing that I also wanted to mention about Brian Franklin was that the best marketing, or the marketing tool for high price points, is always going to be word of mouth. So I knew all these guys, right, from doing the stacks that talked about them highly, and they would sell the $10,000 products themselves because they would talk about it and people would see the results that they got. And so I wanted to unify those guys. So in 2009, right, I created this program that would be like an online program. And it wasn't too, like, one thing I always hated about Pickup Dudes, and they made this work too, which is even more disturbing, but they would get all these guys who were like high profile clients, and then they would use them to make their lives better or learn skills from them. And that was like always it. I really wanted to build up communities of guys because I thought they could help each other. So we would do that, and we would just have consistent calls. Like, we started out with one call a week. Like, I think it was on a Wednesday, and then we branched off to Sunday, and then we branched off to Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then sometimes we have like Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. And now other people host the calls and so on. And there's different types of things that we focus on. But what I got from it was there was a huge need for guys to, one, want to better themselves. But once you created a community for guys to just talk, guys to be able to talk and interact at a deep level where there wasn't like bullshit. In fact, we used to record all the calls, everything on the calls, so that members in the group could listen to it later. And then a couple times, I just didn't have the, like I was traveling, and I didn't have the bandwidth or the means to record the calls. And what we noticed was everybody was much more honest. And when there was a ability to have that, like when we started our Sunday call, it was just supposed to be 2 hours. Every Sunday for the past probably 8 years, we've had a Sunday call, and the average time it's lasted is 15 hours, meaning that it almost never goes under 8 hours, and it will go up to 40, it'll go up to like 3 days at times. So now I'm not on it the whole time, and it rotates members, and they're all over the world. But some of these guys just want to talk about whatever it is, like their garden or photography or jujitsu or some weird stuff. And it's really boring if you're not into gardening and people are talking about, you know, how to cultivate their soil. And it will frustrate somebody who's trying to be efficient with their time. But for men, it's almost, there was no outlet for that. So again, what's my unique quality, right? What am I putting out there in the world? What am I the best at? It's those types of things. And it led to things that I was already doing. So kind of interesting. And, you know, also I'm saying all this, like, not like I just effortlessly put up a call where people could talk. You know, I had courses that were good. I had courses that served a certain purpose. I had courses where we would work the course material, where if you didn't have time and you just had an hour that week, where we would work certain things. So that's pretty huge.
Awesome, man. So Steve, I think we have time for one more question here. If you could give advice to someone who wants to follow in your footsteps, you know, they're listening to this interview here. And if you can sum that up into 1 to 2 words, that advice, what would those words be?
Man, get to work. I mean, that's it. To listen to a podcast is something that I never did. And I'm not against it. And back when I started, podcasts weren't the same. Like they didn't have them, actually. There was no iTunes that hosted a podcast station until, I forget the year, but in 2006, to my knowledge, people were not listening to it in the same way. But like, man, like right now, I could be listening to some motivational shit. But where did I get my motivational shit from this morning? I went and worked out with a guy that, I work out with them mainly for the mentality. And I'd say that there's only two people that I've ever met that have the talent that he has. Like I get it from there. I get it from the guys in my group. I don't need to get motivation. I might wake up depressed. I might wake up not wanting to work, but at some point throughout the day, I will work. I will get what needs to be done. And I will now organize it in a way where I don't overwhelm myself. Because one of the things of an entrepreneur is they have that Superman complex. They take on too much. Like I'll have 3 things that I feel that I can get done that are medium challenges every day. And then I'll have some hard challenges on the horizon. And it's those medium challenges that keep me on the even keel. But man, like to work is the most important thing. Vision is great. There's guys who are more successful than me that believe vision is better, that believe being smarter and all. Like, I don't give a fuck about any of that. Maybe that because that's not my strong point. I give a fuck about working and staying on the even keel and marrying myself to the work that I do. So that's it.
Didn't have time to take notes? Well, get your free cheat sheet for this episode at unstoppablebusiness.com/podcast.